Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 1. I lost my iPad. I think one of my girls took my iPad from my house. Let me kind of share a little bit here because I think it's really important. We have Christmas time coming around, but let me kind of move in a little different direction here too. Because when you read the Word of God, you know, when I first came to know the Lord and began to read the Word of God, first of all, I couldn't read that well. So I thought, okay, Lord, how am I going to be able to read the Word? And remember, we started with the old King James Bible. And then this and thou. So when I went about my first Bible, I began to read. I was going to Calvary Chapel, receiving the Word of God, learning, growing, you know, way back in those days. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, you know, began to minister to me and began to see that the Bible was speaking to me. And as the Word of God began to speak to me, the Word of God began to transform my life, which is so cool. You know, many times we see people that are not transformed by the Word of God. And you kind of ask this question, you know, are they really being touched by the Holy Spirit? But most important, are we being in submission to the Holy Spirit? I think that as men, we have to understand that we have to be broken in order to love our wives, to love our children, and to love other people. We can't live a life of pride, because if we live a life of pride, then we're not going to get anywhere for sure. And as I was reading chapter 1 of Matthew, beginning with the first 17 verses, I thought, you know, here Matthew, the Jew, is writing about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the first time I read the first 17 verses, I didn't know what it even said. Why are all these names here? And then as I began to study, began to see the names, you know, I began to understand that in these 17 verses, there were four names of four women that were not godly women. And so I thought about that as I began to continue to read, and I began to see that here is God's grace shown to each one of us individually. That God, first of all, doesn't choose perfect people, imperfect people like you and I. As God chooses you, as God chose me, we not only see that the grace of God is spoken to here, but as the grace of God is given. All of a sudden, you go to chapter 1, verse 18, to the end of the chapter, and you have the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as I was reading this morning, this chapter, I thought of a couple things as I was reading, because in chapter 1, verse 18, he starts on, and I don't have my glasses, so I'm going to read my notes here. I hate when you can't see when you're old, man. But in verse 18, he's going to go on and he's going to say this. He says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. Now, here we have not only the introduction to the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ taking place, but as you go back into the Old Testament, I thought, can you imagine going back to the Old Testament and reading in every chapter where not only he speaks about, you know, the Messiah coming and he's going to be born and he's going to become the Savior of the world. And when I was reading back in the book of Isaiah, I saw that not only Isaiah in chapter 7, verse 14, he spoke about this beautiful man or this beautiful person that was going to be born, that was going to bear our sins. Now, when you think of sin, think about it for a moment. Have we really come to that place in our life as men, being responsible and coming to my place in my life that I know for sure that I've been taken out of the world and now I'm living a life of faith, a life that is very hard? Because many times people will say, well, you're a pastor, you know, and you don't really, you know, have time to really sin. And you know, I mean, the devil's pretty clever. Pretty clever. Because I find myself in so many weak areas in my life. Now, my life was never drugs, never alcohol. But there's other areas in my life that I constantly have to pray for Jesus to protect me. And maybe you're here tonight, I don't know what your problem may be, but you're here tonight, and I would pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to each one of us individually. And the neatest thing about, you know, God speaking to our hearts is that nothing's by coincidence. Here Jesus is going to be born into the world, and the reason is because from beginning of time, if you think about that, from the Old Testament, the killing of lambs and goats and all these animals to not only atone for the people's sins, but there was no possible way that that could really become realistic until Jesus came and died for the sins of the world. And when I think of what he's done and what he continues to do in my life, I'm always thankful, because when I see people like you, like me, they were sitting here this evening, we don't really know what we've gone through, each one of us individually. But I would guarantee you that here tonight, there's a lot of us that are troubled in our hearts. And I don't know what your problem may be that you're troubled about. But I think that within my own life, there's been some times that, you know, that I'm kind of leaning back. And I have a problem. I have seizures. And that's really become a real thorn in my side, because I've had them now for 8 years. I don't pass out. I have this thing from my navel to my throat to my brain where I can't read, I can't speak, and I have to wait till it passes. It could be 30 seconds, it could be a minute. The longest has been 2 minutes. And then I have to wait. I have to wait in order to come back and come back where I'm teaching from, or otherwise I just start, you know, mumbling things. And it's been a real trial, a real embarrassing in my life, speaking to a group of people, and all of a sudden, here it comes, and I stand there, and I know when it's coming, and then I have to go like this. They already know at Calvary, I go like this, I say, I'll be back in a second. They already know. When I go like this, they already know. So when I have this seizure, I ask the Lord, Lord, why do I have these seizures? I've been healthy all my life, you know, and I go, Lord, why, as I get older now for 7 years, you know, I've been having these problems, and Lord, why don't you heal me? And the Lord kind of spoke to me like Paul. He says, you know what, my grace is sufficient for you. And I accepted that. And as I was reading the book of Matthew, I was thinking, here is the grace of God that has been given to each one of us individually. Here's four women that not only are bad women, and the grace of God has come to them, and this is the line of Jesus coming through. And then you think of what Jesus does when he's born. Let's begin by reading verse 18 for a second here again. He says that the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, and here it is, she was found with the child by the Holy Spirit. You know, when you think of the Holy Spirit, the way he deals, the way he works with people, I know that when he works within my life, as I was looking at the verses this morning, that when he works into my life, he's working in such a way that not only he brings conviction, but he brings peace to my life. Can you imagine how Joseph and Mary must have felt like when she became pregnant? Knowing the law that anyone that would become pregnant, you know, before marriage, they would be stoned to death. And Mary must have been in a place where she doubted. Joseph doubted. And when I read in my own personal life concerning this child by the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit coming and not only ministering in my own personal life as he did to Joseph and Mary, there's been many times that as the Holy speaks to my heart, you know, it brings that great conviction in my life. And the conviction that comes is to not only thank God for Jesus, you know, coming into the world, dying for the sins of the world, but that he continues to work in my life and to work through my life in forgiving everything that I've ever done and continue to forgive me for everything that I continue to do. When I sit, you know, at night, and sometimes I can't sleep, I have a real problem sleeping. And there's been times that I've learned that when I can't sleep, I have to go to my office, I have to sit up, and, you know, I can do is pray and read the scriptures. And it's always when the Holy Spirit brings me to that place and demonstrates in my own personal life that if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. It's very embarrassing. It's very humbling to sit there and to know that Jesus not only has touched my life and I've asked him to heal me, but he said, my grace is sufficient for you. And when I think of the grace of God, think of the grace of God in your lives. The grace that has been given to each one of us individually, undeserved. And many times the devil will come along and begin to say, to put condemnation in your life, to condemn you. But then I realized, like Paul said, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. My position is in Christ. And because my position is in Christ, as Joseph will see here, as Joseph not only heard that Mary was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, not only does it bring comfort to my life as I read the scripture, but the comfort that God has given in my own personal life, in the areas of my life where I've had not faith, but unbelief in my heart, to know that Jesus not only will fill me with the Holy Spirit, but he'll lead me and guide me and will bring comfort to my life. Comfort which I really need every single day of my life. It's very hard to sit and to know that God wants to use your life, but then you feel, how can God use my life, through all these things that I'm facing in my life? But when I think of Mary and Joseph, here's a young woman, according to the law, that could be stoned to death, and yet God chooses this woman, 17, 16 years old, I don't know how old she was, and to use her to have this baby that would become the Savior of the world. And what caught my attention is when he says here in verse 22, I marked it here, he goes on to say here in verse 22, which is really, that when he says that he's not only come into this world, but he's come, he says in verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Jehoshua, God is salvation, for he will save his people from their sins. Save us from our sins. That's the message God gave to my life. Salvation is the gift of God. And when you think of the salvation of God, what is the source of our salvation? Well, first of all, it's grace. Grace that has been given to me, grace that I don't deserve. But look at all the years, maybe in your own life, my personal life, that when I look at my life, the unmerited favor that God has given to me because he loves me and because he cares for me and because he wants to use your life and he wants to use my life. Paul the Apostle says in Ephesians 2:4, but God who is rich in mercy because of his great love, for which he loved us. When I look back at my life, I never knew about love. I knew only hatefulness. And the first time when I got saved and I felt the love of Jesus Christ in my life, it was a place where not only it touched me, but changed me. And it brought me to a place where I had to love other people. And the first person that I had to ask forgiveness was my dad. My dad, and I didn't get along. We had a lot of issues with each other. He used to beat up on my mom. And since I was a little kid, I always wanted to kill my dad. And when I got saved, the first person that I went to see was my dad. And I had to tell my dad, Dad, I am so sorry for anything and everything that I've done against you. I believe that when he saw the grace of God in my life, 3 years later, he came to know Christ. And when he came to know Christ, I always thought of that great love that Christ had not only for me, but for my dad, for my mom, my brother, and my sisters. And everyone that has come to know Christ, all my friends, over 30 guys that I grew up with have come to know Christ. You see, we are witnesses and people are watching our lives if the grace of God is working in our lives, in our hearts. We don't take advantage of the grace of God. But by faith, not only have I believed in Jesus Christ, as he says here in verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. For by grace, you have been saved. Past tense. Been saved. and raised up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You notice in Christ, my position is not outside of Christ, but in Christ, that's the grace of God. Unmerited favor that God has given to me. He goes on to say, verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show exceeding riches of his grace. There it is again. In his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus, again in Christ. For by grace you have been saved, here it is, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any one of us should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. For good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. The grace of God in our lives. Faith in him. My position in Christ. But how about secondly, it is through God's love. Through God's love. We're all sitting here tonight because of God's love. The love that he has for us. Imagine where you were before you came to Christ. What were you doing? And when you came to Christ, the transformation, the change that God has brought and is bringing in your life, even at this very moment, as you sit here, not only tonight, but when you sit here throughout the week learning and studying God's word, and when you leave here, the Holy Spirit speaking to you and bringing a change in your hearts, so that when you go home, your children, if you're married or if you're single, people that see your life and know you, they see a transformation. Why? The grace of God. The grace of God. It's not by our preaching, but by the way we live that people can see we're truly transformed. I can remember when I got saved, I grew up in Baldwin Park, and you know the police knew me, and they would stop me every time they would see my car. I was a Christian. But they really didn't believe it. But as they began to see that I was going to the high school minister to kids, and they began to see that every time they would stop me, I would share the gospel with them, and it was a real different thing in my life now. That the cops, every one of those guys that knew me, came to know Christ before they died. And you see, that's the transformation that Christ brings to our lives by the grace of God that we're saved. How many people have you influenced with your life? As a man. Do people even know you're a Christian? You know, many times we don't have to express by, you know, sharing something about Christ. But I really believe the greatest part is when we live by Christ and people can see your lives. Something is different about you. And when I got saved, that's what took place in my life. They could see the grace of God in my life. They saw no more hate. They saw love. Forgiving people. And I remember going to some people that I really hated, and I had to go and apologize and ask them to forgive me. And it was very hard for me because I've never done that in my life. But you know what happened is I went and I spoke to them. I had peace in my life. The peace that passes all understanding. Another person that I had to go was my wife. Very hard with my wife. I feel, even to the present time, I feel so bad because the way I treated her. The way I, things that I did to her. And many times as I'm sitting there, I continue to think, you know, how can God forgive me? You know, I know because of his grace, but as I look at my wife and all the torture that I brought her through. And now she has cancer, you know, so it's really kind of hard, you know, to go back. And she's forgiven me. But as she's forgiven me, I ask the Lord, you know, Lord, as she has forgiven me, Lord, please help me to love her even more and more every day, now, Lord. Because we don't know how long she has lived. But it's so cool because we're content together. You know, we understand that. And through that, God has not only, you know, he's got me to the place that not only do I understand the grace of God and the mercies of God and the love of God, but it's brought us together even greater. And our children and our grandchildren see that togetherness and love that we have. That when my kids were growing up, they didn't see that. But that's why the grace of God is so important. And the love of Christ, the love of God, he says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I think if Christ died for me, then I need to learn how to die to self. That's the hard part. Dying to myself, because I always want to live. I always want to be, you know, I want to be in a place where everybody notices, everybody sees me. I want to be able to boast when all the glory and the honor goes to Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, and all because of the love of Christ, agape, that He has for you. Maybe you came here tonight with a lot of problems, a lot of issues in your life. And it's so awesome that you guys can come here on Tuesday night, study the Word of God, and be able to have a transformation. And that when you leave here, not only tonight, but every Tuesday night or whenever you come, that you leave here with the love of Christ. The love of Christ. Not being the same person. When you come here, I pray and I hope that when you leave here, you're a different person. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the power of the Word of God. That's the power of God's love in my life, working in my life and through my life. And then how about His mercy? The mercy of Christ within our own lives. In Titus 3:5, He says, not by works of righteousness which I have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Through the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, who He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ. Again, our Savior, my Savior, your Savior, that having been justified by His grace, notice grace, 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 we should become heirs according to the hope of what? Eternal life. Eternal life. Not temporary life, eternal life. And when I came to Christ, when I knew that I was receiving eternal life, it brought a change in my whole life. Not to be fearful of death. And you know, when I was in Vietnam, you know, I got shot once and I got blown up another time. And God, I mean, if I would have died, I would have gotten to hell. But it's incredible to look back. Then who would ever thought, and with any of us, who would ever thought that I would be pastoring and teaching the Word of God? When I hated pastors and I hated Christians. And then when I got saved, Sharon's mom and dad, they were missionaries. I had also to go to them and I had to ask them to forgive me for all the things that I said against them, all the things that I, you know, that I did against them and said against them. And there was no possible way that they could say to me, well, we don't forgive you, but because of the grace of God and because they saw the transformation in my life, they encouraged me, they built me up, and it brought me to that place that I recognized the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's so powerful that Christ not only changes you at this present time, but it continues to change your life as you submit to the power of the Holy Spirit. And that eternal life that is given to you and to me forever and ever and ever. Can you imagine once we go to be with the Lord? I mean, we leave this earth, we leave this whole earth, and we go to be with Jesus and to be with Him forever and ever, and we shall be known even as He is known. Incredible. If you tonight are having problems with your wives or your children or maybe drugs or alcohol, know one thing, that God hasn't brought you by coincidence, but He's brought you here because not only He wants to give you His grace, but He wants to bring you to what? To forgiveness. Forgiveness. If you really want to be forgiven. And if you really want to be forgiven, excuse me, you have to understand that forgiveness comes as I surrender, as I submit my life to Him. And say, Lord, here am I. And that's the hardest thing for any one of us to do, because the devil is always there for us and he wants to really discourage us. And he wants us to imagine that we're going to be forgiven, but we're just imagining that in our minds. But in our hearts, I know that Christ has touched my life. I know that He continues to change my life. And I would pray that tonight the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. That as you came here tonight, and the grace of God has been given to you, and the love of God, and the mercy of God, that he alone would be the only one that receives all the glory and the honor because of the grace that he's given to us. He says in Acts 4:12, he says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And I love 1 Corinthians 1:18. Listen to what he says. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. For me to live is Christ, but to die is to gain. When you think of the cross of Jesus Christ, you know, it's not just a cross. When I think of the cross of Jesus Christ in my life, is that death that comes in my life as I surrender to Jesus Christ, recognizing that when he died, not only he went through pain and he was God, but that he died on the cross to set me free and to bring me to a place in my life that I would recognize that he's my Lord and my Savior. And that I cannot speak against him. I cannot speak against his word. But as I come to know him, I can share my heart and the love of Christ and the mercies of Christ with other people that come in contact with my life. And that's which each one of us individually, wherever you work, wherever you live, whatever you know you do in life, that you would come to that place and you would bow your knees before him and that you would confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. The love of Christ. The love of Christ working in my life and working through my life. And this is why he says here concerning salvation. The salvation is given to us, and we're all saved here tonight. That's cool. We're saved. But are you developing? Are you growing in Jesus Christ? And do you still look to the cross of Jesus Christ? Because it's the instrument of death. The instrument of death. To deny myself, to pick up my cross and follow Jesus Christ. And when I pick up that cross, that instrument of death, I recognize that it's no longer my will, but his will, because I have submitted to him. And when I give my life to him and give him my will, and he takes my will and he begins to work through my life, then I come to that place once again and I can see the transformation, the change that is taking place within my heart and within my life. And all I can do is thank you for it. All I can do is thank you for it. Because there's nothing in this world that I desire more than him. For he's the only one that can bring comfort to my life. He's the only one that has died for my sins and has written my name in the book of life. He's come to that place in my own personal life that when I look at the cross of Jesus Christ, I think of the pain that he went through, the mocking that he went through, and all these things that he had to bear, not for himself, for each one of us individually here. That's the grace of God and the love of God. And I'm going to pray tonight for you guys that the Holy Spirit would bring you to a place of brokenness. Brokenness. That is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in and lives through my life. That we would take our lives and that we would humble ourselves before him and that we would strip of self tonight. So that he can take my life and he can not only use my life, but he can fill me with this power of his Holy Spirit so that when you go to work tomorrow morning, people will be able to see there's a transformation in your life, and that's the power and the grace of God in my life. We need that, you guys. I need that. You guys need that tonight. And the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was not just another birth. It speaks to me of the grace of God that is given to us. Because God not only called you and I to come to him, but it's so cool because when we accepted him and repent of our sins, he took that precious blood and he walked away every one of our sins. Everything we ever did. And the devil comes along and tries to condemn you. Don't listen to him. Your past is gone. You're living in the present and you're looking to the future. And what will your future be? What is your present today? Are you following him? Are you loving him? Are you praying? Are you reading? Are you studying? Are you submitting? Are you humbling yourself before him? Because if you begin to do that, you're going to see in your own personal lives, not only that great conviction that comes in my life, but you're going to see that something is happening not only within outside, but within my life inside, within my heart. As God begins to transform my heart, because the heart is thief of desperately wicked, who could know it? I, the Lord, know your hearts. And if you're here tonight, and you're going through a valley, or maybe you're an abuser with your wife or your children, or maybe you caught up with drugs, whatever it is, or maybe you're just a good person, It doesn't really matter. We all need to come to the cross by humbling ourselves before him and asking him not only to come into my heart and examine my heart, but as I've given my heart and I humble myself before him, then he comes into my life and he transfers my life to the Holy Spirit. And I want to pray that God will touch us tonight in that area of our lives. I'm asking God to take away all of our pride. Pride's a horrible thing. And as God takes that pride away from my life, that as a man, that not only I humble myself, but I would come to that place where Jesus said to become like a little child. Are you willing to do that tonight? Father, I pray right now, Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, God, Lord, I thank you so much for Greg, what you're doing through his life, Father, his family. And Lord, what you've done in this church, Lord, and what you're doing and what you're going to do, Lord God. But Lord, right now, I pray for all these men that are here, Jesus. Lord, you know us. You know our difficulties, Father. You know our sins. And Lord, I pray that before we leave here, God, that you would come to our hearts, Lord, and that would be that we would be able, Father, just to pour our hearts to you tonight, Jesus. Lord, that we would empty ourselves of self, and that we would be open to the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and to baptize us with power, Lord. Power that we need every single day, Jesus, every single day, Lord. And Lord, I pray for their wives. I pray for their children, Lord. And Lord, I pray for this place, Lord God, that you just bless it, Lord. That you supply every need, Father, to just to preach the gospel here, Lord, like never before, God. Lord, I pray any one of you hear this tonight here. If you're having problems, if you have problems, well, whatever, we don't have to mention whatever it is. And you need prayer tonight, I want you to stand to your feet. I want to pray for you. Whatever your situation may be. That's why we're here tonight, you guys. You guys around these guys, lay hands on these guys. We're going to pray for them. Lord, I come before you this evening, Jesus. Lord, to thank you so much for your grace, your love, and your mercies that you give to us every single day, Lord God. Father, I pray for these men. You know what their situation, their problem is, Lord God? Lord, I pray that tonight you baptize them with the Holy Spirit and with power, Lord. Lord, help us every time we come into your house to leave different, Lord. Not the same person, Jesus. Lord, we ask you for their families, Lord. Lord, we pray that as you baptize us with your Holy Spirit, Jesus, that you would remove all fear from our lives, Lord. Lord, that you give us continually your grace, your love, and mercies. Lord, I pray for my wife. I pray for my children, Lord God. I pray for the church. I pray for Greg and Kathy, Father, their children and their grandchildren too, Lord God. And Lord, we ask you that you bless every crusade, Father, especially coming up in Texas, Lord God. Just fill that place with your presence, Lord, and have, Father, thousands come to know Christ Jesus. And Lord, even here tonight, Jesus, empty us and fill us, Lord. Lord, thank you for everything that you've done and you're doing, Jesus. And Lord, we ask these things in the precious name, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We pray these things. And everyone said, amen. All right, you guys, God bless you guys.